So like many of you, I wear many hats. So I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a health coach, I'm a daughter, I'm apparently the new executive director of campus relations here, or operations here at Christ the King. I wear many, many hats. But also, like a lot of you, I share in a deep passion and a love for serving others, correct? Don't we all have that? So a couple years ago, I was living a super crazy and busy life, all right? I was a mom, I was a wife, I was a caregiver to my mother, a health coach, all the things. And this is what a typical day in my life looked like. So I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I would get myself dressed, and then I would wake my mother up and get her dressed. We would be in the car by about 5:30 so that I could drive her to her treatments. She was having some health issues, so she had to go for treatments each morning. So I'd get in the car by 5:30 to drive her to her treatments. I would rush back home, where I would have my first session of the day with my clients at 6:30 a.m. I would then do two more sessions immediately after. I would finish those up. I would hop back in my car. I would drive the 30 minutes again, go pick my mother up from her treatments, drive her back to my house, get her inside, get her settled, feed her some lunch, hopefully put something in my own mouth during all this time, do whatever little things I needed to do, like maybe getting dinner ready for that night or doing something for my business, that sort of thing. And then my afternoon sessions would start, and I would do three more sessions back to back to back. I would finish those training sessions at about 7:15 in the evening, at which time I would come in. Of course, my husband was already home. Sometimes the kids were there. You know, it just depends on their activities. I would eat dinner. I would go shower because who didn't want me to shower after all that? And then I would get to bed hopefully by 8:30 so that I could get about 8 hours of sleep so that I could get up and get it all started again the next day. But in this busyness that I was having, I was forgetting someone super important. Does anybody know who I was forgetting about? I was forgetting about myself. I was fulfilled by the service that I was giving to all my family and my clients and the people around me. I was definitely fulfilled. I felt like I had purpose. But it was like I believed my worth and my value was wrapped up in how well and how much I could serve the people around me. I rarely took any time to actually spend time on myself, to give myself some self-care, or to reflect on what was even happening in my body. And over time, the consequences of running like this became quite evident in my life. So something you may not know, some of you do, but something most of you probably do not know, is I suffer from 6 different autoimmune diseases. One of those is lupus. So in this excessive busyness, I was setting my body up to fail. I was setting my life up to fail. I was just setting everything up to fail. My family, my relationship with my family was a bit strained because I don't know about you, but when I'm super exhausted, I can be snappy, right? Like I definitely wasn't giving them my best. Everything was failing. Even though I was a health coach, I was every day helping other people achieve their health goals, all the while my own personal health was completely failing. So this disease, lupus, was wreaking havoc on my body during this time. And what that looked like was my kidneys were failing, so I was going into kidney failure. I was extremely exhausted. I dealing with pain and inflammation and the fatigue that comes along with a disease like lupus, there's no way for me to describe to you what that feels like. You just have to kind of live it. And if you do live it, you understand what I'm talking about. But I was living with that pain and that exhaustion from the lupus. And I was a living example of what happens when we tend to forget about ourselves and we don't take care of ourselves. And if I had continued at this pace, if I had continued down this path that I was on, I was 45 years old at the time, and my doctor looked at me and said, "You're going to end up in an early grave if you keep this up." So it was a big deal. Now with that, I want to say good morning and welcome to Christ the King. So we're so excited to have you here. Again, my name is Michelle Yorick, and I just want to welcome you all here. We're excited that you are spending your Thanksgiving weekend with us. We do hope you had an enjoyable and awesome day of thanks this week with your family, and we just look forward to spending the time with you. I do want to also say welcome to our online guests. We're so excited that you're joining us from somewhere around the world. I don't even know what camera is catching it right now, but we're so excited that you're joining us from somewhere around the world for this message today. So far in this series, we've been in the lost art of honor, and so far we've taken a look at what it means to honor God, honor our marriages, honor the voiceless, honor those in authority, and honor our friendships. If you missed any piece of this series, we do encourage you to go on our website or go into your mobile app and watch any of those messages because they're impactful. You definitely want to hear what God had to say through those. But today we're going to wrap everything up with this next message in this series and this final message in this series, and it's all about honoring ourselves. So honoring yourself is key when it comes to honor in other areas of your life. Without it, you're not going to be able to give honor, at least not properly, in all the different areas of your life. So today, I want to dig into what it actually means to honor yourself, how honoring yourself is crucial to being able to show and give honor to others, and drive home the fact that you honoring yourself is not selfish. This is actually biblical. So do you want to learn more about what it means to honor yourself in this respect? Okay, a couple of you do. Okay, well, the rest of you just come along for the ride. All right, so our core scripture for the Lost Art of Honor series is Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. So I want to start with, what does the word honor actually mean? And if you look this up, if you Google it, you're going to get 100 different definitions. This is the one I landed on, so because I thought it was quite simple to understand. So in simple terms, honor means showing respect, esteem, and recognition to someone or something, acknowledging their worth and treating them with dignity and value. So if we use that definition of honor and we apply it to ourselves, honoring yourself means treating yourself with respect, recognizing your own worth, and taking actions that align with valuing and caring for your well-being. And it's really important to recognize that it means recognizing our worth as individuals created in the image of God. So Sarah Green, a couple weeks ago, she taught us on honoring the voiceless. And she was talking about our value, our worth. And she gave this scenario, or this imagery, and I really liked it because I think in imagery. Like, it helps me remember things, so I love, like, getting that imagery. And she used the imagery of, like, if you buy a shirt from Amazon, right, you expect to spend about $20, maybe 30 if it's a super fancy shirt, but you know, you're not going to spend a whole lot from Amazon. But if you go to the Gucci store and buy a shirt, you can expect to pay hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars on a shirt, right? And what is the difference between the two shirts? Like, the main difference? It's the label. It's just the name on the label, right? One says Amazon Basic, one says Gucci. Well, in that scenario, when you look at yourself, your designer label, what's on your collar, it says God. And I have news for you. It's more valuable than Gucci, all right? This phrase I have said 100 times today. I didn't even realize I was going to say it. So you're super valuable. I want you to understand that, because we cannot honor ourselves and value ourselves until we understand our self-worth. So by definition, self-worth is recognizing and believing in your own value and importance as a person. It's about understanding your strengths, embracing your individuality, and appreciating who you are regardless of external factors. And what that means is, it doesn't matter how much money you make at your job. It doesn't matter how much money sitting in your savings account or the car you're driving or how big your house is. None of those things matter. Your value is intrinsic. It's inherent, right? It is from God. So self-worth is closely connected to honoring yourself because it forms this foundation of how you perceive and treat yourself. So when you have a healthy sense of self-worth, you recognize your own value. You recognize your own worthiness. And this recognition is going to set the stage for honoring others, right? It's going to set the stage for honoring yourself, prioritizing self-care, making choices that align with your well-being, and setting boundaries that respect your needs. So honoring yourself becomes this natural expression of inherent value that you place on your own existence. It involves treating yourself with kindness, making decisions that align with your values, and recognizing that you deserve love, respect, and care just as much as anyone else. And this is important to know and understand because there's a big connection between understanding your self-worth and honor and respect to others as well. Okay? So Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." So right there, we are taught that we were created in the image of God. We're valuable. Again, that tag on your shirt says, God, you're valuable, more valuable than Gucci. And then in Psalm 139:14, it says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." So this inherent value, this intrinsic value that we learned about in Genesis 1:27 comes from being fearfully and wonderfully made by God, our Creator. So understanding our self-worth requires recognizing that God deliberately crafted you with a purpose. He deliberately crafted you with significance and with worth. And when we grasp this biblical truth about ourselves, it lays the foundation for honor in all areas of our lives. So I want to dig a little bit into that, like how understanding your self-worth helps you to understand the worth of others. So first, we recognize God's design. So when we understand our worth, and we understand that that means acknowledging God's intentional design, we understand that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. When we understand that, then we can understand so is everybody else. Right? The person that God has put in your path, he's put right in front of you, is made in that same image. They were also fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we can understand our worth in that way, we can understand others' worth in that way, which is important, right? Number two, we value others as God's creation. So if we understand our worth as God's creation, it follows that we should understand and extend that same acknowledgement to others, right? So honoring others becomes a natural response when we see them as fellow bearers of God's image, and we see them as fellow bearers of that tag on their shirt, just like us, right? That is important. Number three, we love our neighbors as ourselves. So Mark 12:31 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this." So Jesus teaches us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So there's an implication here. It implies the baseline of you loving yourself, you knowing your value. If we neglect to understand our own worth and to love ourselves, how are we going to do that with our neighbors, right? So it implies that baseline. You've got to understand your value, and you have to show yourself that love. And then number four, we live by the golden rule. So Matthew 7:12 says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." So treating others as you want to be treated assumes a foundational understanding of your own worth. If we recognize God's given value, we're more likely to treat others with honor and respect we desire for ourselves. But we have to understand our worth and know how we want to be treated. So to put it in simple terms, because again, I like imagery. It makes sense to me. Recognizing your self-worth is like having a cup that's full. When your cup is full, you have something to share, right? But if your cup is empty, what do you have? You have nothing to share. So to honor others, we first have to understand and appreciate our own worth so that our actions of honor can come from our overflow of abundance. I see the value in myself, and because of that, I can see and honor the value in others. Now, in my example earlier, my story earlier, talking about where I was a few years ago, my cup was empty. It was like bone dry. Like you weren't going to squeeze anything out of that cup. And because of that, my relationships were suffering, my family was suffering, my business was suffering, my mom was suffering, everything was suffering because my cup was so empty, I didn't have anything to give. And a lot of that stemmed from the fact that I believed that if I focused on myself and I gave to me and didn't just give to others, that I was being selfish. And I know I'm not alone when I say that. I know there are people sitting in this room right now or sitting on the other side of a screen who thinks that showing themselves honor is selfish. I had this like crazy idea that God wanted me to live in this place of serve my people, and not serve myself. I had this idea that that's what the Bible was teaching me. But finally, I discovered a profound truth in the Bible, and it was that recognizing and valuing myself is not selfish. It's actually biblical when doing it the correct way. So understanding my self-worth allowed me to love and honor honor others more authentically. So realizing that a cup overflowing with self-love can generously pour into the lives of others around me, I had to come to that realization. So how does honoring yourself set the stage for honoring others? Well, I want to start and just talk for a moment about humility. Because when I'm talking about honoring yourself, I am not talking about self-centeredness, right? There is a difference here. So we want to talk for a moment about humility. So you've probably all read or heard the parable from Luke 14, the parable of the wedding feast. If you haven't heard it or read it, go read it this week. I'm not going to read it to you now, but basically Jesus used this parable to teach the virtue of humility. And what he taught in that is that the people who exalted themselves may be humbled, whereas the people who humbled themselves may be exalted. So humility is important in honoring ourselves because it creates this balanced and realistic view of ourselves. It creates the foundation of a healthy sense of self-worth grounded in authenticity and superiority or acceptance. Humility is also crucial in understanding how we honor others because it creates an open and respectful attitude. So when we approach others with humility, we acknowledge their worth and their value without arrogance and superiority. All right, but the meat of this and what I really want to get to in honoring yourself, setting the stage for others, is what I called the ripple effect. So when we honor ourselves, it becomes a model for how we honor others in a really profound way. So this is how it works. So imagine you have like a body of water and you drop a stone into it. When you drop that stone into that body of water, what happens from the source of the drop? Ripples, right? Like the water ripples out. They just radiate from the center. So we are going to pretend that us honoring ourselves is that stone dropping into the water and then the ripples happen. So here's what the ripples represent. So the first ripple out of you honoring yourself is you set the standard. So you are setting a standard of how you honor yourself, which will set a standard for how others should be treating you and how they should be treating others. Out of that comes the second ripple, which is reflecting your self-respect. So when you honor yourself, it reflects the respect you have for yourself. And it shows others how you expect to be respected. The third ripple creates healthy boundaries. Boundaries are important, all right? We have to set healthy boundaries in our lives. So when we set these boundaries and we maintain these healthy boundaries, others are going to learn how to interact with us in relation to those boundaries. The fourth ripple is it promotes positive relationships. So when we honor ourselves, it positively influences all areas of every relationship in our lives. It creates this environment where mutual respect and honor are going to thrive. The fifth ripple is encourages empathy. So when we honor ourselves, we begin to understand our struggles and our needs. And when we understand our struggles and our needs, it helps us better understand the needs and struggles of the people around us. That is empathy. All right, so it sets that stage. And then the sixth ripple is it demonstrates authenticity. So when we are honoring ourselves, it requires us to be authentic to our real selves, being true to who we are. It encourages others to be genuine in their relationships with us as well. So with each ripple, the people in our lives are going to learn how to live in mutual honor and respect with us. And then they're going to carry that out into this world. And when they do that, their ripples are going to ripple out into the world. And then we're going to make an impact, right? Like we're going to make an impact on how we're treating each other in this world. So it's really important. So far we've talked about what honor is. what self-worth is, and how honoring ourselves is going to set the stage for honoring others. So I wanted to start here because I wanted you to understand that the honoring yourself is important. It has implications in your world and in your relationships. I wanted us to understand that. And I also wanted us to understand that it's not selfish to show yourself honor. But I'm sure you're sitting here and you're going, that's great. How do I do it? Was anybody thinking that, right? Like, how do I actually honor myself? So I am a trainer at heart, so I like to give practical steps and let you walk out of here with a to-do list, you know, for the week type thing. So I do want to dig into what it means to honor yourself, because I think what we neglect to understand in this is that we think honoring ourselves has to do with our physical body, but then we forget about the rest of it. But God has a whole holistic view on this. He wants us to honor our bodies, He wants us to honor our minds, and He wants us to honor our identities in Christ. So let's dig into each of those and give you some practical steps on how you do that. And we're going to start with body because it's the one people understand the most, like from the get-go. So 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." So here the Apostle Paul is teaching us that our bodies are like a temple. It's very valuable. It is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It is an important place. And it's not our own. God bought us with a price. Remember, we're more valuable than Gucci, right? Like, He bought us for a very steep price. And because of those things, we should show honor to God with our body. So we need to make choices, intentional choices that align with God's design. So how can we do that? I'm going to tell you, and you already know them. Here's the thing. We know what we need to do, but nobody wants to hear it, okay? Like, I'm going to say these, and it's going to be like, yeah, I know, you know. But this is what we got to do if you want to honor this place. Because think about if you were the caretaker of a temple. What would be some things you would do? You'd probably sweep each day, dust off the cobwebs. You would keep an eye on the electrical system because you don't want an electrical fire to break out. You'd make sure the water system's working great because you don't want, like, a flood, right? You're protecting it. And you certainly wouldn't let a three-year-old come in with a hot fudge sundae and eat it in the middle, right? Because that would just be sticky and gross. So there would be things that you do to take care of it. Well, our bodies are a temple, and we need to take care of it in the same way you would take care of that temple. So that involves exercise, right? We have to exercise. Nothing crazy, but you got to move your body a little bit, keep the systems running. You got to eat healthy foods, not the processed stuff, right? Like, the processed stuff would be the equivalent of the three-year-old with the hot fudge sundae in the middle of your temple, okay? And just getting stuff everywhere. So you want to make sure you're eating healthy, whole foods. You want to make sure you're drinking plenty of water. You want to make sure you're avoiding those habits that are harmful to your health, and we know what they are, all right? You want to make sure you're avoiding this. You want to make sure you're sleeping enough. This one gets overlooked so often. You want to make sure you're getting enough sleep. You want to make sure that you're managing your stress, and you want to see your doctor, right? You got to get a checkup, see what's happening under the hood, make sure everything's operating properly. And if it's not, you can get ahead of it quicker, right? All right, so body, pretty easy. I mean, you know what to do, right? But if you have questions, ask me. I've been doing this for quite a few years. Be happy to tell you what you need to do. All right, so the second piece of this, though, is you've got to honor your mind. And this is the part we often overlook. And in years of coaching, this is the one place that my clients didn't realize that they needed to focus on. So Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." So in this verse, we are taught right there, we should focus on our thoughts on things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. We're to embrace this mindset that is aligned with God's principles. We are to renew our minds and be in harmony with His truth. So how do we do that? Practically, how do we do it? First, you've got to read and meditate on the Bible. All right, you've got to study God's word. Seeking knowledge and wisdom that align with these biblical principles is key to educate your mind in the ways of God. Okay, so you want to make sure you're spending time there. Second, you want to pursue personal development. And I'm not talking about personal development that's for your own personal gain only. I'm talking about personal development that's going to help you be an effective servant leader for others in your life. Because a developed mind will be able to serve with wisdom and knowledge and empathy and understanding. So you definitely want to do that. Now, the other piece of it, too, just like we talked about with our bodies, we want to make sure we're putting healthy food in. Well, you want to make sure you're putting healthy stuff in your mind. Yes, the Bible, first and foremost, make sure you're reading your Bible. That is God's love story to you. Read it, right? But you also need to protect other things that go into your mind. What websites are you visiting? What books are you reading? What TV shows are you watching? This one, I don't think people think about enough. Who are you letting speak into your life? Whose words are you allowing in that maybe you shouldn't? So you've got to protect your mind. That is honoring of yourself. The third piece is honoring your identity in Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." So this verse teaches us that in Christ, we are a brand new creation. We're to let go of that old, right? We're to embrace this new identity and live in the freedom of being a child of God. And we need to recognize that our worth and our identity are found in our relationship with Christ. So how do you honor your identity in Christ? Again, number one, read and study the Bible, all right? This is going to give you the understanding of your value and worth according to God. This is how God sees you. So you want to spend time in Scripture. Again, number two, foster this deep connection with God through prayer. So you want to seek Him. You want to ask Him, what should I be doing? How should I be living? What is living in alignment with you? And then you got to take a moment, sit quietly and listen and let Him answer you. That's a part of prayer as well. You also want to engage in very supportive Christian community. This is important and a part that's often overlooked. So we have lots of community groups for you here at Christ the King. So make sure you get plugged into community here at Christ the King, because they're going to help strengthen your faith. They're going to help you strengthen knowledge and understanding and all the things, but they're also going to help you strengthen your identity in Christ. Next, we want to practice forgiveness. You were forgiven of much, so you need to forgive others as well. You also need to forgive yourself. Some of us are sitting in this space right now, and we're not forgiving ourselves for things that we've done. So you've got to practice forgiveness. You've been forgiven, so make sure you forgive others and yourself. And then lastly, you want to share your faith journey. And I think this is one that we don't do often, but you don't want to skip it. You need to tell people what's going on with your life. Tell people how God is moving in your life. You know, I will share my story, and it's my story. I lived it, right? I was a part of it. But when I share it, each time I share it with people, it kind of gives me a little bit more of a, God did that for me. Like, even though I already lived it, I already know it, but the more I share it, the more I tell people about it, it kind of strengthens that kind of, look at me, you know, God loves me, right? So you want to make sure you're strengthening your identity in Christ by sharing your story. And plus, it encourages others to share their story as well. They may be scared to share what they're seeing and going on in their life. You may be that catalyst to help them do that. So to wrap all this up, this message of honoring yourself is a call to recognize your worth. It's a call to recognize and embrace your self-worth and live in alignment with God's design. We want to honor ourselves, and we want to create a full cup of love and respect so that it spills over to others. It's not selfish. It is biblical when done the right way. So remember, I shared the story about me and my health. So was anybody wondering how it ended? Because I kind of left you like pretty much just hanging there, didn't I? All right, so I'm going to finish that story for you now. So I spent some quiet time, yay me, I pulled aside, I spent some quiet time listening to the Holy Spirit. And something, if you know me well, you know I say this all the time. I'm the child of God that He has to take the 2x4 to get my attention sometimes. I don't just listen to those gentle urges, right, and nudges. So the Holy Spirit got my attention, and I listened to the Holy Spirit. I listened to advice from my husband. I listened to advice from my closest friends. I had people speaking into my life, and I made changes. I made lots of changes. I went to my doctor. I was honest and upfront. I got the blood work. I got on a treatment plan that worked for my body. I made the very hard decision to move my mom into an assisted living facility. I pivoted my business, completely changed how I was coaching my clients, and I was able to honor myself, honor my body, honor my mind, do all the things. And by doing that, by taking more time for myself, I was able to honor the people around me better. Because now we're living in a time where my family is thriving. We're great. The kids are thriving. Everybody's doing what they're being called to do. My mom is better because I got her the care she needed and I got her the care that she deserved, right? I'm better. My clients are better. They've got coaching way better than they ever had before. So just by me taking that time, I was able to open up and give more time and effort into those areas and make things better. So that's why I say it's not selfish. It's actually biblical. So I hope today's message is going to inspire you for some transformation in your life. I hope that it's going to help you see yourself better, see yourself as the valuable person that you are, treat yourself better, recognize the unique and just amazing masterpiece that you are, created in the image of God. I want you to get out there this week, and I want you to think of ways that you can honor yourself better. What are some just quick practical steps you can start doing right now so that we can together honor ourselves more, honor others around us better, and then take that out into the world and make a big impact. Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious Father, we praise you and we thank you so much for this day, God. We thank you for this space that we're allowed to come together and worship you as one. God, I pray that you guide us in how we should individually honor ourselves. I hope that you open our eyes to the areas that we are neglecting and to the areas you want us to focus on. I pray that our bodies and our minds are open to hearing that and seeing that. God, I pray that you show us opportunities to honor others. I pray that you just continue to walk with us, before us, behind us, around us. God, we just thank you for that gift of your presence in us, God. God, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and it's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we all pray. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Amen.